going to the... Thank you for listening to one of the audio messages from Cornerstone Church Airdrie. My name is Brad, and I have the privilege of serving as the lead campus pastor and primary preaching voice at Cornerstone Church Airdrie. So if it's me you're hearing speak today, or if it's someone else, our desire is still the same. We pray that you are so encouraged, that you are built up, challenged, and inspired. Through these messages, our hope for you is that you would grow in knowing God, knowing His hope, knowing His purpose, and knowing His power. We believe that the God who spoke all through Scripture is still speaking to us today, and we pray that as you listen to this message, the heart of God would be speaking to you. Enjoy the message. Before I share what I've prepared with you this morning, I want to just let you know a couple of things. First, if you're visiting with us today, if you're new, today's going to be a little bit of a different kind of message. I'm going to be sharing with you four things that God has placed on my heart for this next year at Cornerstone Church. And that's why we're calling this Vision Sunday. So it's not necessarily going to be a standard sermon the way that we're used to. It's going to be more, and then this, and then this. Now, I've been so blessed to be able to take 6 weeks off of preaching over the last little while. Pastor Matt has shared, and Barb shared, and Shannon shared, and Cynthia shared, and last week we were so blessed to have Foursquare Sunday with Pastor Steve Faulkner here sharing, and Simon and Zoe leading us in worship, and it's been really wonderful to have 6 weeks off. I didn't realize it until I was looking back, and then discovered that I had preached for 50 straight weeks. So that was a lot of weeks in a row. But what happens when you're a pastor and you don't preach for a while is that, like, preaching just kind of bursts out of you. So I'm going to try and stick to what I'm supposed to talk about this morning and not keep us here till I've got a fantasy football draft at 2 o'clock today. So I should be able to keep under that. But I wanted to let you know just something, and it fits really well with what Roy shared in a different kind of way, something that took place in my life this week. On Tuesday morning, I was invited to do something that for probably gigantic periods of my life, no one would ever say Brad would do that. On Tuesday morning, I graduated from AKCS, Airdrie Koinonia Christian School, here in Airdrie. And on Tuesday morning, I had the privilege, I was invited to come and talk to the staff at the school and come and share with them just about God's goodness. Now, I have been invited into a room full of teachers many times, but it was never because they wanted to hear from me. It was mostly because they had together decided how they were going to punish me. But it was just this incredible, weird moment. And I said to Earl, who's the principal there, I said, I talk to people all the time, and I don't really get nervous. I get really excited to share with you. I'm always excited, but I don't get nervous. But a room full of teachers, this is terrifying. And I just, I am so nervous to share. And really what it just showed me is the incredible faithfulness and goodness of God in our lives and His long-term storytelling in our lives. That where you are now is not where you will be a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. In my case, it was 20 years. It's my 20-year high school graduation anniversary this year. And so 20 years after graduating high school with a reserved spot in detention and kind of all of the, to be invited back 20 years later to say, hey, could you come and talk to our staff? Could you come and lead our staff devotions? And just for the encouragement that hopefully that is for you, that where you are now is not where you're going to be. And sometimes where you're going to be is absolutely going to blow your mind. That you're going to have these moments where you look at your life and you say, how did this happen? But in the best way, not in like a God, how could this happen? But God, you are so good. How on earth am I here talking to teachers about how to be a good teacher? And yet here I am. And God is just wonderful. He does so many amazing, amazing things in our lives. He's a way maker and a miracle worker and all of those things. And this Tuesday morning, I just had the opportunity to really experience that. But this Sunday, I want to share with you a couple of things that God has placed on my heart for our campus for this upcoming season. It's tricky because sometimes I know, and I'll do it this morning, I'll use the phrase for this upcoming year. And by year, I mean the remainder of this year and the first half of next. I don't know what I mean by this year. September's not the start of a new year. It kind of is with school, but it's this weird thing because we're not all in school. And so I'm going to try and say this next season, but really, you know, I'm going to end up using the phrase this year. But I believe that it's so crucial for us as people. I think this is crucial for every single one of our lives, and it's crucial for us as the body of Christ to always be looking to see what God has for us. To always look at our lives and say, God, I'm so grateful that you've carried me this far, but God, what's next? God, where are we heading next? God, what more do you have for us? There's this point in the story of the Old Testament where the Israelites are about to enter into the promised land. They're about to go in and capture Canaan and move forward in the destiny and the call that God has given them as God's chosen people. And here's the promised land and all of these things. And there's this moment where the tribe of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, they look at where they are. They look at how far they've come. They look at the land around them, and they think, you know, this is pretty good. This is good. Where we are, it's comfortable. It's known. It's great. There's lots of place to grow crops. There's water. Everything that we need, it's right here. And so instead of moving forward and saying, yes, we're with you, they looked at where they were and they said, you know what? It probably isn't going to get much better than this. Where we are, it's known, it's safe, it's secure, and more than that, it's already done. We've already begun to see this as our home and to understand that this is where we're meant to be. And so they decided that we're going to just stay here, if that's okay. We're not going to continue to move forward. We're just going to stay here because we like where we are. And so rather than move forward into the promised land that God had promised them, they just said, you know, God, you've done enough. Can we just stop? Let's just rest here. And that's not what I want for my life. That's not what I want for you. And that's not what I want for our church. Is I don't want our church to come to places where we go, you know what? This is pretty great. Let's just do what we can to not mess this up. Let's just stay here for a while. But I always, no matter if we're in a good season or a bad season, wherever we are, I always want to be with an eye on the Lord saying, God, where are you taking us? God, where are we going? God, I'm so grateful that you've carried us thus far. But yet, God, where are we headed next? I don't want to look at where we are as a church and stop and look around at all the amazing things that God has done and what God is doing and look around in the life of our church and go, oh, this is just perfect. Nothing better ever change. Because that's not what God has for us. That's not what God shows us in his relationship with his kids. There's times of rest, and absolutely there are seasons of rest, and it's good, and it's right, and it's important to rest. But you better rest because it's a season of rest. We don't just rest because, hey, I think I've earned it. Well, no, God, what do you have for us? I want everything that God has for us. Even if that means at times we need to leave comfy, nice place that we've found ourselves in, God has more for us, and God has big things for us next, and so I want that. Last year, as we explored our vision for what God had for us, the phrase that God had really placed on my heart was a firm foundation, that God was wanting to put in place a foundation for him to begin to build on and for him to begin to expand upon. And And this past season, I believe that God was placing our church on a solid foundation so that as we enter this next season, that he would be able to build us up into, or build us into, a, last season built us into a strong foundation so that this year he can build on that. That we saw new people stepping into roles. We saw people who say, I never thought I would ask this, I never thought I would say this, but is there a place for me to serve here? Is there an opportunity? God's been placing this on my heart, and I want to step forward in this, even though I don't know that I know how to do that. That we began to see God putting things in place as a foundation for our church. And the next verse, or the verse that God has given me for this next season, for this time in the life of our church, is from the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 54, verse 2, which says, enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch out your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. I really like, in understanding this verse, to look at what the New Living Translation says, because it really puts it into terms that we understand. You know, stakes and cords and tent curtains, that's not necessarily applicable to us as we understand it. But the New Living, I didn't put it up there. All right, in the New Living Translation, it says, enlarge your house, build an addition, spread out your home, spare no expense. That's terms that we can understand. Get a bigger house, build an addition, make your space bigger, and don't worry about what it costs. Just move forward. And it's an encouraging word from the Lord for us. That he's saying to us as a church, church, you're going to continue to grow. It's time for you to expand. We have the firm foundation that God has built us on, and now it's time for God to begin to build on that foundation. God is going to expand our tent. Now, what I'm not saying, and what I'm not seeing, is a literal expansion of our tent. I'm not talking building projects. I'm not talking moving. I'm not talking buying a different building. We've just settled. We've just done all. We're not moving from here. We've come too far. We've spent too much time. We are here. But I believe that God wants to expand our tent as a church. He wants to expand who and what we are as a church. There's four ways that I believe God is looking to expand our church. First, he wants to expand the way that we care for each other. He wants to enlarge our care. And I believe that the way that God wants to accomplish this in the midst of our church is with the rebirth of a small group ministry. To be all that we need to be as a church, to be all that we can be as a church, as individuals, and for us to get what we need out of church, there's really two things that we need. In terms of the body of Christ, is we need community and we need intimacy. We have to have both of those things. Now, Sunday morning is built for community. Is as we come together, we celebrate together, we worship together, we are so glad to be in each other's presence. We are so grateful that you're here, and we're so grateful that everyone is here. Community is what we have on a Sunday morning. We worship together, we celebrate, we connect. We are a group, and we see and we celebrate this community. We celebrate who is here, and we celebrate what God is doing today. But community is only part of what we need. As a community, we don't have the ability to dwell on each one of our lives individually. You may have a conversation with some. And then you may have a relationship with some here where you have that little bit more intimacy and close relationship where you can go and you can say, hey, I know this is going on in your life. How is that? How are you? What's taking? That some people with some will have that connection. But as a body together, we can't do that. Is we don't have time on a Sunday morning, we wouldn't just have to cut a song or two to go around and say, Jordan, how are things? Clark, how are things? Justine, that by the time we're done all of this, we've been done church for like an hour. that at least, and that's assuming nobody talks for very long. But we can't do that collectively as a body. We need to have an outlet, a place where we as the body of Christ can experience intimacy. And this is where small groups come in. Small groups have one simple purpose, to bring people together, closer together. We believe that God created us to live in community, but also in intimacy with other. And only then with both these things can we experience the full life that he intends for us. Change happens in the context of relationships. Meaningful relationships can be hard to find, and small groups exist to make life-changing relationships relevant and accessible to you. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 will say, two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up, but pity anyone who falls and has no one there to help them. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. That's not a philosophy for your small group. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. Small groups in the context of intimacy allow for three things to happen. Small groups are a place for connection. We are not made to do life alone. God created you, he created us for community, and he created us for intimacy in the midst of that community. And small groups provide a place to connect with others, share life, grow in faith together. Small groups are a place for protection. God uses others to bring support and encouragement to our lives. Small groups become a place where others don't just know your name, but they care about what's happening in your life and want to support you in your spiritual journey. And small groups are a place for growth. Every person is created with God-given potential to make a difference in their world. And small groups are a wonderful avenue for you to be able to grow with others to become more like Jesus and be able to reach the potential God has put inside of you. Small groups are so important to the life of our church. We need to see this next phase of growth as a church. Now, we've done small groups in the past, but my hope and my intention, and I think that I pray and believe that the leading of the Lord is that we're going to try and make a couple of small changes to our small group system to hopefully help with some of the things that became issues inside of our small group system. The biggest change that we're going to move towards is a semester system. And what that will look like is there's going to be a fall semester and a spring semester. The fall semester go from September till November, and the spring semester will go from February till May. And here's the big thing why that matters, and the big thing that will hopefully help shape your involvement and your understanding and how our life together groups or small groups are going to change a little bit. At the end of each semester, your commitment to your small group has ended. What I mean by this is you are only committed to attend, to host, to lead a group for a semester. Now, the following semester, of course, you are welcome to continue. There's no forced resignation. There's no, you did it last, you're out. You're welcome to continue to lead, to host, to attend, to do whatever you were doing with your small group. But at the end of a semester, if you were saying, you know what, I'm done. I'm tapped out. This was more than I thought it was going to be. I need to take a break. That's what we're here for, to have time to take a break. It allows you, if you would say, I want to lead a small group, but not now and for forever till Jesus comes back. I have this theme that I want, this topic I want to touch on, this thing that I believe we're missing in the life of our church, and so I would like to take on the responsibility of leading this for the next 6 weeks. Exactly. You can do that without the pressure of then somehow being like, and so, what are you going to do for the next 10 years? But that there's these opportunities for us to step in and step out, to attend a small group because I'm really wanting to be a part of what they're doing. But next semester, I'd rather be over here. And that's welcome. And it's okay. And it's important. One of the other big adjustments as well that I'm looking for our life groups, our small groups, our life together groups, is to branch out beyond Wednesday nights at 7:30 for married couples. That was so what all of, when we did small groups before, it was good and it was right, and that was what all of our groups essentially were. And I'd like for us to be able to move beyond just that. It was never formally that, but that's sort of what it became. They can still be that, and we're excited and want small groups that look like that, but we're wanting to see the door open for small groups to be able to be more than that. From a sport group to a lunch group to mom's groups to student groups, Bible study groups to creative arts groups. I want our groups to be as varied as we are. That as we, as a church, we don't, and we talked about this morning during communion, we're not all the same. We're tied together in unity by Jesus Christ, but we are not all the same. And so our small groups shouldn't all look the same, because not everybody is going to be fed by that. Some well, and they can be fed by that, but some need something different. And so we want to open up the door, open up the world to something different. We can have small groups that are just for men. Small groups that are just for women. Groups centered around a theme or a priority. Maybe you say, our church needs something on finances. Well, here's an opportunity for you to be the person to bring our church something on finance. We need to have something on marriage. Perfect. There's going to be a small group about that, raising kids or being single, financial stewardship, marriage, or around an activity. I really like to play ultimate frisbee. So in the springtime, because in the fall, you're not going to get very many people to your ultimate frisbee group. But in the springtime, we're going to get together, and we're going to play ultimate. And when it's done, we're just going to take a minute and talk and pray together. But we're going to share life together doing this. Our prayer group, and this is where I wanted to share about Stephanie and Mel. Our prayer group on Wednesday night, it's like a small group. And my intention to say to you this morning was I want to tell you about a girl named Stephanie and a man named Mel. And if you came to our Wednesday night prayer group, you would know all about them. Because on a Sunday morning, we don't have time to share prayer requests with everybody about everything and pray with them. But in the context of our Wednesday night prayer small group, we've been able to pray and pray and go through the ups and downs, the life of Mel and his daughter, and rejoiced as she's gone to rehab and interceded as she's gone away, and we celebrate that she's going to church, and we will continue to pray on behalf of that family and continue to stand for her. But that can only happen in the intimacy of a small group. On October 6th, so a month from now, the first Sunday of next month, following the service, we're going to have a meeting for people who are interested in leading small groups. It's going to be short. I promise I will not keep you long. I'll try to schedule a fantasy draft for some sport for that day, just so you have the assurance that we'll be done. But if you are interested in leading a small group, if you are interested in playing a part in our small group ministry, even if it's just for a season, you can be a part of that, and we're going to work together to see what God is going to unfold for us as a community in relation to growing in our intimate care for one another as we look to expand our care, to enlarge our care. The second place that God wants to expand our church and expand our tent is He wants to enlarge our blessing, our tent of blessing. Now, again, there are some things here that I want to talk to you that I'm not talking about. I'm not talking about your personal blessing. I'm not talking about somehow that God wants to just move you forward in blessing. Although there are times over the next while where we're going to be talking and understanding concepts like that. But what I believe is that God wants to expand the blessing that we are. The blessing that we are as a church. The blessing that we are as a church for our community. For our city. We want the city to be blessed and better off because we're a part of it. Sometimes as a church, we can get into the habit of thinking, well, Airdrie's better because they're welcome to come here. But we want to be more than that. We don't want to just say, well, we make you better because we get together on Sunday mornings and we're the best. So if we left, you would be worse. We want to make it a priority to be a blessing for our community. And this comes back to something that I've mentioned before that I really want to bring into focus. The idea of I love my city, of having a couple of times throughout the year where we as a church gather and we do something to bless our city. And not in some kind of like, hey, Airdrie, look at what Cornerstone Church is doing kind of way. But just in a, we're going to go and we're going to do this and we're going to bless our community. And when we're done, Airdrie's going to be better and maybe they know we did it. And maybe nobody knows at all. But that's not the point, because we're not doing it to raise the banner of Cornerstone Church. We're doing it to raise the banner of Jesus Christ and to be a blessing for our community. In Jeremiah 29, as the Israelite people are about to be brought into exile, God talks to them about how they're to live inside of this new community, of this new country, of this new empire. And he talks about living a life there. And he says that you need to start a life there. You need to have kids there. You need to have a life. You really do need to live there. And then he challenges them to do more than just live. And he'll tell them this: also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Hopefully living in Airdrie doesn't feel like exile to you. But we want to seek the peace and prosperity of the place which God has carried us. God has brought us together. God has brought us here. Now, I know that some of you may not actually live in Airdrie. You may say, well, we live in Balzac, or we live in Araucana, or you go to church here. So God carried you here. So, but we want to make our community better. We want to be a benefit to our city. We want to bring hope and encouragement and life to our city by serving our city. Jesus said that we're to be salt and light in our worlds, and salt and light bring change and they bring flavor. We don't want to be a church contained to these four walls. We want to be outside these walls, touching, blessing, and bringing flavor to our community. So we're going to be planning some of these community service events. Not a lot. It's not going to be every Saturday, and we're not going to burn everybody out doing this. But a couple of times a year where we can just venture into the community and give out water bottles to thirsty people if it's ever hot again. Do something to just bless our community. Two more things that I want to talk about for Vision Sunday. The third one is extremely practical. We are quickly approaching next month, actually, when we have our small group leaders meeting. It'll be 3 years since we have been here in this building. And God has done a lot inside of this building. We've got a guest from King's Court here this morning, and she's saying, it's really changed in here. And we're so grateful for all that God has done and all that God continues to do and how he's blessed us and made ways for us to replace carpet and flooring and painting and TVs and lights and all of the things that God continues to do. We've come a long, long way. But there's still more to go. And there's still places that we need to change and things we need to do that are different. And we need to live inside the very real cost of ownership. And there are these things that come up. As this morning, we're having sound checks, and there's a cord that doesn't work on Jordan's guitar, and so we got to replace it with a cord. Now we have no cord to replace the next cord that breaks and all of these things. And so I want to invite you to partner with us in a very real and practical way. In 2 Chronicles 24, this 7-year-old boy takes over as king of Judah. And he decides it's time to repair the temple. It's time to replace some things that are going on. And so they end up, what they just do is they place a box outside of the temple. And they invite people to just come and bring money to help fix up the temple and replace some things inside the temple. And in verse 10, it says this: All of the officials and the people brought their contributions gladly, dropping them until the chest was full. So what I want to invite you to do is, in a very practical way, to participate in Bottles for the Body. I want to invite you to take your bottles back, all your recycling, and drop the money in the offering box. And just write B4B or Bottles for the Body. To be clear, because we talked about this at our church council meeting, we don't want your bottles. Do that step for us. Because then we also don't need to know what everybody's drinking and all that. But, oh, really? But it's just a practical way that we as a church can support the body of Christ and just to do it every other time. I know some people have traditions. I know at our house when we were growing up, we'd take our bottles back every once in a while and that would fund Chinese food for the night. Don't lose your family tradition over it. Don't be like, well, no Chinese food anymore, pastor said. But continue to partner with us. And this is just, and we'll let you know how much, as money's coming in, how much has come in. And we'll let you know when we do something with that money to be able to say, look at what the Bottles for the Body has contributed to the life of our church. And we'll all celebrate the new XLR cord that we bought or whatever it is. But we will celebrate together as God provides for us. And the body, of course, Bottles for the body being the body of Christ. For us, as we as a church look to do things and see things happen, I want to invite you to be a part of that. Now comes the last one, and this one is nervous for me because this is, I really believe, taking a big step of faith, and it's not really something that I feel overly comfortable with, but I was talking with a pastor friend of mine, and he encouraged me and said, no, you need to say what God has put on your heart, and you need to not be scared and all of those things. So we're going to talk about this. This one is a little more tricky because it's something that God is still leading us to. I don't think that we're there yet, but it's unlike the other ones because I'm not asking you to be a part of anything. I'm not even particularly right now asking you to do anything other than to pray. But it goes back to the very beginning, very base verse for our theme, the most directly, a verse that says, enlarge your house. Here's where I put the other version. Enlarge your house, build an addition, spread out your home, and spare no expense. We as a church are growing. God is working in our congregation. And we are seeing more people come and more people come. And it's exciting. And we rejoice and we celebrate that it's a September long weekend. And there's a lot of people here today. And if you're a regular attender of our church, you can probably look around and go, they're not here. They're not here. They're not here. They got a lot of kids. There's different groups. We know that there's people who aren't here. And I believe that this year we are going to head towards, and I believe that we are going to achieve and surpass an average Sunday attendance of 100 people. That's what I really believe that God has placed on my heart for. And that's scary to me because this is accountability to you. That we come back to this point next year and God has Gideon revivaled us, and there's 30 of us here. Oh, really, Pastor? But you know, it's easy to talk about these things in generalities, and that's what I was so tempted to do. But I really believe God's placed that number on our heart that we are going to grow, and we're going to see this milestone of our average attendance going from two numbers to three numbers, and that God is going to continue to expand and grow our church. Not that attendance is the be-all and end-all, because you can have a lot of people and it doesn't matter. We don't do this because we want lots of people to come to church. But every person that comes to church is a life that God's trying to work on. And we don't want to stay where we are. We don't want to just be like, that's it. You're all the lives we want. If you're not here this morning, if you're watching online, don't come. You know, that's not what we want. That's not our heart, is we want to continue to see God working in our community. We want to continue to see lives being touched. We want to continue to see God be the way maker and the miracle worker for people whose lives need it so much. And they're not all here yet. And so we want to continue to see our church grow. So the last thing that I want to talk to you about is that we can't expand. The pizza place isn't for sale, and I don't think we want to chase off the new pastry place next door just yet. Let's find out how good their stuff is, and then we'll decide what we want to do. But if we can't get bigger, we need to talk about more. The only thing that I can see is looking at the possibility of going to two services on a Sunday morning. That's all I know. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what that means. We are not there yet. This isn't Vision Sunday saying October 6th, you can come to the 9 or the 11, or December 1st, or January 1st, or whatever the equivalent Sunday is, that we're going to two services. But what I believe is that God wants to continue to work inside of our church. And he wants to continue. He's drawing people in. And we need to figure out what to do with all of them. And it's the most wonderful problem a church can have. What do we do with all the people? So what I want to invite you to do with this is I want you to invite you to pray, and specifically to invite you to pray in two ways. First, to be in prayer for the church leadership, for Pastor Matt and myself and for Pastor Barry and our church council as we potentially look towards this. I don't know that we're going to two services. When I look at the life of our church, I don't know what is another option, but the Lord knows exactly where we're going. He knows. He's bringing people. He's doing it, so he's not doing it with no plan on the other end. He knows what we're doing. But so pray for the leaders of the church, those in church leadership, that we would be able to clearly see and discern what the will of God is and walk in it. And then second, and this is probably the more difficult prayer to pray, ask God how you could be involved in that. We're going to need more people doing stuff. Because we go to two services, we don't double in size. We half in size. We've got two services with half the number of people if everybody sticks around. And so what we end up with is we need more people to teach Sunday school. We need more people in nursery. We need more people as ushers and greeters. We need more people on the worship team, but we need people who can be on the worship team to be on the worship. We don't just need people on the worship team. I can't just be like, I'll sing. No, you can't. But that'll be a quick one. But we pray and ask God, God, what would you have me do? And I'm going to rest in your ability to hear from the Lord. That if you say, God told me nothing, okay. There's not going to be pressure, guilt, or anything. I will continue to pray for you that maybe God will continue to open your ears. But God, soften that heart of stone. In Jesus' name, amen. No, but if we're going to move forward, we don't want to stop what's comfortable. I'm comfortable. I'm excited. I love what God's doing. I love that at 10:35, there's nobody here. And at 10:45, there's lots of people here. But I don't want to just stay here. I don't want to just be this because I like it and it's comfortable and it's easy. I don't want to stop short of the promised land and be like, this looks good. Let's stay here for a bit and just stop and not follow what God has for us. I don't want that to be our church. I want our church to be, God, we're coming. And whatever that means. So those are the four things that I wanted to share with you about where we're headed as a church. Small groups, community engagement and impact, and bottles for the body, and enlarging our house, whatever that ends up looking like. I have seen enough to know.
that your love's the only anchor for my soul.
Thanks again for listening to the message. I pray that your heart was blessed by what God had to say today. If you'd like to connect further with Cornerstone Church Airdrie, there's a couple things that you can do. You can find us on the internet at cornerstonefoursquarechurch.com and select Airdrie from the homepage. If you'd like to connect to a pastor at the church, you can do that through our website. Once you're on the Airdrie page, just click on the New Here tab in the main menu and our campus pastor from the drop-down menu. You can connect with us on social media. We're on Facebook and Instagram at Cornerstone Airdrie, or you can follow us on Twitter at CS Airdrie. You can also subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and get new content delivered directly to you. And don't forget to rate and review the podcast on iTunes, as that helps people find us easier. We're so grateful to be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with our community in Airdrie and with you today. At Cornerstone Airdrie, we are a family not by blood, but a family that's been bought by blood. And you are a part of that family. As family we go.
Hallelujah, Jesus, lead us home. Like a ghost, you appeared, walking on.